May I invite us again to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25. And we'll read from verse 14 this time to verse 30. This is the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents is found within the discourse the Lord Jesus Christ had on the last things. And we find this particularly after the parable of the foolish virgins. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. And then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then you had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew to be hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we consider this parable today. As already indicated, the Lord Jesus Christ from chapter 24 is discussing the end thing, the eschatological eschatological discourse. And then within that context, at the end, he gives these 2 parables, the 3 parables, end of chapter 24 and beginning of chapter 25. And the one we are considering, he has given signs of the end of time. And his discourse was brought about by the question the disciples asked, what would be the sign of his coming, of these things that he had told them? He had predicted the destruction of Jerusalem and also his coming. And in answering, he gave them signs that would precede the destruction of Jerusalem and then also the signs of the coming of the Son of Man. And also he told them as to which day and which time the Son of Man will come. This was not known to him as well as to anyone else apart from the Father. It was a reserve of the Father. And so in giving the parables, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples to be ready because they do not know when he will return. And we learn from the parable that we'll be looking at that while Christ's return tarries, we should be busy about to use the goods, using the words of the parable, the goods that the Master, who in this parable is the Lord Jesus Christ, gives to his servants. That we should be busy to use these like a business enterprise. The language that is used there for the first servant is that he went and traded the talent. In other words, he put it to good use so that he can gain much more from what was given to him. In the same vein, as we wait for the Lord's return, the Lord teaches that we need to be busy to put to use what he has given us, the gifts and otherwise, so that we can get a return that would honor him. And when he returns, as we have read, he will demand an account on how we have used whatever he has given us. Everything that he has given us must be used to the end that he is magnified and that we multiply the gifts to his credit. They are not ours. They are given by the Master. And so, brethren, this evening, we should encourage ourselves that in view of the fact that Christ will certainly come, we should be motivated to use what we have to his praise and honor. To use what we have, in some sense, to prepare for his coming, because he will surely come and he will surely demand an account. And what a wise God, what a gracious God we have, that he should warn us beforehand. And we should be wise, like that faithful servant, to apply what he has given us in the ways that pleases him. Now in this parable we have seen that there was a master, there was a man who was traveling to a far country. And that man later on is referred to as a master. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this master owned things. He owned goods. Because we are told that when he was leaving, he called his servants together and delivered to them his goods. That's in verse 14. He gave them his goods. He owned goods. They were his and not the servants. They were only servants. The master is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the absolute owner of all people and all things. And in a special sense, he is the owner of the church. And into his hands, all things were delivered. He is the rightful owner of everything. There is nothing that this world owns, nor any one of us owns. Only the Lord Jesus Christ owns everything. All power and authority was given to him, we read in Matthew, was delivered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the servants were recipients of what the master owned. And so the servants here represents Christians, his own servants. They are called his servants because they were part of his household. They were bought within his households, and they were devoted to his good, to the activities of the household. They needed to employ themselves to work for the needs of the households. So we are his people, and the Christians here are the servants. Now, these servants were given the gifts, the goods that the master owned. And we shall consider three things concerning these goods and what they gave rise to. In the first place, the goods that were given to the servants. And in the second place, we will consider the different uses these goods were put to. And thirdly, we'll consider the settlement of accounts that will be required of us in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, when the Master returns. But firstly, the goods that were delivered to the servants, their Master delivered these goods to them. Because they were servants and they were appointed to work within his household, and they were given these goods. Now, he had left them with the goods so that they can continue in the business with which he had given them. We are told that soon after giving the goods, the master left. He traveled to a far country. And this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he ascended into heaven, he blessed his church. He gave the church everything that the church needs to survive on without him while he's away until his return. He left enough provisions and he gave gifts when he ascended to his church. Now, God's people, God's children, believers, as servant, we have received everything we need for life and godliness here below. On our own, like these servants, we have nothing. All we have are as a result of our link to the Master, who is our Savior. We have nothing but our sins and bereft of anything good with which we can use to work and live our lives here below. Mind you, the Master left them to work, and through the working, they were going to survive, but they need to ensure that their Master receives his due. Now, Christ our Master has given us everything so that we may use them to his glory and get a return when he returns. He expects a return. Why did he give us gifts? He gave us so that we can get a return. As you can see in the passage that we read, there was an expectation. He gave them the gifts that they needed to return. No one ventures in business without expecting a return. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us gifts and goods. He expects a return. It must be a return that is employed, that is out of the business he has given us to employ in. This was within the master's business. We are not told what the business was in the parable, but it looks like it was financial markets, because it talks about depositing the one talent that was given to the evil servant, that he must have deposited the money with the banks so that he can get a return. And we are told also the other one traded it. He could have traded it also with money in the money markets, or indeed in the actual trading. Whatever the business was, it was approved by the master that that was the right business to employ in and get a return towards increase of his wealth. We need to apply what God has given us into the business Christ has given us. Whatever we have received must be made use for Christ, because it's his property. We are only servants, and we are stewards of what he has given us. Now, let's observe also that the master was traveling, and he was going to be away for a long time. That's what the Bible says. He was going to be away. He was traveling to a country for a long time. And then he was going on a journey. And when he was long in his journey, he returned and he expected a return from them. Now, these gifts that he gave them, they were different gifts. They were not of a similar fashion. They were different gifts. He did not give them the same proportion. And to one he gave 5 talents, to the other he gave 2 talents, and yet to another he gave 1 talent. They were all given gifts. None of them had nothing, but all were given gifts, different gifts. And we're told these gifts were given according to their abilities. They were given according to their abilities. And as we see the return was going to come according to their abilities. The one who was given 5 talents had the ability to generate enough for the master out of the five talents. And the one given 2 also had the ability to generate more talents out of the 2. And the one given the 1 was also given abilities indeed to generate enough out of the 1. This master was gracious. He did not give them the same because they didn't have the same abilities. In a similar fashion, the Lord has gifted us and given us abilities in a different way. We all don't have the same abilities and opportunities. We have opportunities and abilities as the master has determined. And some are cut out, are made for a particular service, and yet other for another. Like the body, the natural body, with different parts, and yet for different abilities, for the hands to hold things, to lift up things, to lift food, to the mouth, the legs to take the body where it's supposed to go, and so on. We have different gifts, and these are given by the Lord. There's something that you sense implied with the servants. As they received these gifts, none of them complained. They understood that this gifting, these goods that the master had given them, they were rightly apportioned to them according to what God had given. And indeed the Lord was expecting a return according to their abilities. And brethren, the Lord has gifted us differently, with different opportunities and abilities. He expects us, for whatever purpose we are cut out for, to indeed generate, to use them within his kingdom, within the business he has set us for, so that he will be honored through there. So these were the gifts, the master he had given them. And then let's look in the second place, the different uses of these gifts or the goods. And we see in chapter 16, in verse 16 to 18, how that they were given different goods and how they used them. We have the 2 servants who used them very well. They were very diligent. They thought out what's the best investment with what we've been given. What is going to give us a maximum return out of this business? And they went out and they began to trade. They put the money where it was going to yield the best that the master expected. And they applied themselves in this business as would do a business. A businessman. They worked it and they generated extra on top, much more on top. A true Christian, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed like a spiritual businessman. There is nothing that should be done in our hearts with our goods, the goods that God has given us, rather, without consideration of the best possible return that would seek to honor the Lord. And you value the things that God has given us. What has God given us? He has given us His Word. He has given us His people to meet with. And He has also given us gifts with which we should employ ourselves. As we noted, not a single of these servants that we are presented with here, not one of them, had nothing. At least they had something. As all believers are gifted, we are all given something that we need to employ ourselves in. He's given us his word, the means of grace, and the opportunities before us within his body to save him. Now, these two apply themselves. We need to apply ourselves. I wonder if we take time to think about what God has given us and the kind of return, the kind of use that we are putting it within the body of believers here at LBC. Or it's a pastime. May the Lord help us to employ our abilities in his kingdom. And these two applied themselves because they knew that somehow these talents which were given to them should be returned back to the owner at the right time. And they needed to apply themselves and get the return the owner was expecting. Do we have in our mind as we serve the Lord the fact that Jesus is returning, and that he's returning, he will expect us to account for what he has given us? Has he given you 5 talents, blessed with so much more? Has he given you 2 talents, maybe blessed with less? Or has he given you 1? And what mattered here was not the quantum, what they had been given, but rather that they applied whatever they were given with their abilities. Were they limited to just 1? Within that 1, they needed to apply themselves. And the 2, they did. And they were successful. They doubled up the talents. And indeed, they received a commendation from the master, as we shall see later. Now, the one who was given 5 talents, he also returned 5 extra. And the one with 2, he gained 2 extra. But the third servant did not actually do anything with the talent. This servant did something which was unacceptable. He received the gift. He received the good. He went and hid it. And mind you, this was his Lord's talent. Because we are told that he got what he had, the one he had, and then he went and hid it. The Lord's, the master's money, he hid it in verse 18. He hid it in the ground. He received 1 talent and he hid it. And he is now called the unfaithful servant. Now, we may say because he had 1, that's why he buried it. But there are many, in terms of application, who receive so much from the Lord by way of giftations and abilities. 5 talents and do bury them. There are many with great abilities, and maybe even in our midst, with great advantage, and great advantage to do so much good for the Lord, for his kingdom, and yet they bury them, they hide them. The great abilities given should be applied without comparison to those that are given little. The challenge is on each one given to apply them to the extent that the Lord had given them. Now, that man with 1 talent who buried it, he thought to himself, I have very little capacity, maybe, he thought. Look, my fellow servants have been given so much, but for me, I only have 1. I really can't do much with 1. At least if I had 5, it's easy to multiply. You see, business is better. When I have a little more, I'm going to get a better return. I can't multiply this one. Let me just bury it. Could it be that in our midst there are some who feel that they have so little by way of giftation, and they feel so little to an extent where they decide to just hide their giftations as they see these saints who have been given great abilities, and they hide it. The one talent which would be used to the Lord's benefit, to the increase of his wealth, his kingdom, you hide it because it's so small. Indeed, we see this man, the fact that he hid it, he was called unfaithful and wicked. Now, if the Lord has brought you within the boundaries of LBC, he expects you to use even that one. And don't be like this wicked servant, this unfaithful servant who hid it. Use it within the small way that God has gifted you in your own imagination. But before the Lord, this is great, and he expects you to get a return, even out of that small capacity. What about as a church? The Lord has given us much. Indeed, the Lord has blessed us as individuals to a greater extent, a little more than an average church within the boundaries of Lusaka, indeed, the boundaries of Zambia. The Lord has blessed LBC with a word. He has also blessed LBC materially. And these blessings, the Lord expects that we should generate a return in proportion to the investment he has made in us. He expects a huge return from LBC, from the members of LBC. And just think, brethren, that the giving of the goods were tied to the return of the master. It was going to mean something when he comes. And as we live our lives here below, waiting for the Lord's coming, and we've been musing over the imminent return of the Lord over the last few weeks, he will surely come. And the fact that he will surely come, he will expect you, my brother or sister, he will expect LBC to give an account of the great investment the Lord has done. What about his kindness to his people here at LBC? Hasn't he preserved us through countless years? We're almost losing count of the years LBC has been in existence. He has seen us through. What about in your own individual capacity as a member of LBC? Hasn't the Lord been gracious to you in serving you and giving you gifts? Gifts without measure. And maybe you are gifted beyond what we even know or can see. And you know it in your heart. But you think to yourself, looking over your shoulders to those that have more or maybe have little, and you want to exercise your gift to the extent that they are. That's not the measure the Lord is expecting. He is expecting much, as he has gifted you. Now, again, we can learn from this lazy servant that those who are frequently blessed or gifted little tend to also hide away. And some make it an excuse that, look, I have little. And they begin to be consumed by what the Lord has gifted others and draw into a mode of laziness. That's what this servant is called, a lazy servant who never even thought, what's a lazy man or a lazy woman? Is that one who doesn't want to do anything, content by just sitting, being fed, being attended to, just sitting somewhere on the fence and benefiting from what the others are investing in? Are you such a one? I have so little. I can just sit in the fence, receive sermons, receive the blessings, the ministry of others that God has given. And the Lord calls this man laziness, who buries the gift, the gifts, the good that he has given. He dug into the earth, he the talent. And what were the reasons for doing this, and these reasons he gave to the master. When the master asked him, he says, you see, I knew that you are a master who doesn't reap, who reaps where he doesn't sow, and so I just hid it. And of all places, he dug into the ground, hid it in the wrong place, as it were, as if it was manure to benefit the plants. It couldn't. This was money. Money doesn't grow from the soil. It needs to be employed. Our gifts won't develop, won't yield the return it needs when we bury it. And remember, this man buried the Lord's money. The gift you have is the Lord's money. He pretended that he didn't have any gift. He didn't want to have anything to do with this gift, while his friends, the two servants, were daily thinking about this investment, the goods that the Lord had given them, the master had given them. This man went and dug and detached himself from the gift and went about. And since he was in the master's household, he participated in the benefits of the household. He was there every day, seeing his friends go out. He detached himself from the gifts and the blessing that the master had given him. Are you one such? You are saved, maybe a member of LBC or another church, and the Lord has gifted you because you are his children, you are his child. He has given you a gift and blessings. You detach yourself. And what does that mean? You don't even want to think that you have something the Lord has given you to employ in his body, in his church. And obviously you may honestly be saying, I don't have a gift. I don't know what my gift is. And that could be true. But are you making effort to find out what the Lord has given you? What can you do to get a return? When he returns at his second coming, he will require you to account for that hidden gift that you have detached yourself from. That gift you don't want to have anything to do with, and only content in participating in the household benefits of LBC and watching the others taking keen interest in what the Lord has given them here within LBC and even beyond in the world. Remember, all things should be used to the honor and praise of this king. And thirdly, time came. They needed to settle accounts. In verse 19, we are told, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He settled accounts with them. Time came. We have been learning that the Lord Jesus Christ will surely come. And time is coming when you must come before the judgment seat of God and settle your accounts and present before him what you have used, what he has given. Yes, he saved you by faith. And we learn from James that faith without deeds is dead. And part of those deeds have to do with what God has given you, the abilities and gifts. So the judgment finally came. It took so long, and so that even the one with one talent maybe got comforted, that he's taking too long. But the others who had worked day and night to get a return from the investment the master had made were ready for the judgment. And then they appeared before him to give account as stewards of God's mercy and grace. What will you give? What account will you give before him when he appears as you settle your accounts? Okay? Now, what did the master find when they settled their accounts? The first two servants, they had good accounts. He called them good and faithful servants. I gave you five. I gave you two, but you have brought double the number back to me. And the presentation before the master, the first servant said, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Lord, you gave me 5 talents. They were yours. You gave me. And you see the response of the unfaithful servant. He does not even acknowledge that he was given from the Lord. Let's look at what he says. He says in verse 24, then the one who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew straight away to the issue. He didn't acknowledge it, that God gave him. My friend, are you not aware of God, what God has given you, because you don't in the first place acknowledge him? Could you be amongst God's people, God's servants, and never acknowledging the master? And these two acknowledged him. You gave us. We had nothing. We lived out of what you gave us. And these were yours. We are only returning what is yours to you, our master. And he called them good and faithful. And they followed through what they had been given. We too must follow through. Indeed, what God has given us. And they produced evidence of their faithfulness. They didn't just come before him to talk with words that they were busy about working the garden. It came with returns. They produced evidence. They had 5 extra talents. They were good stewards. They had been diligent. And they showed that they believed in him, they trusted in him by the 5 extra talents. James 3 verse 13. Show me your faith by your works. They needed to show that, and they did it. Indeed, as we are involved in the spiritual trade, we must also show by our works, our involvement within God's work, with our ability. Now, we see that as they appeared to give their accounts, the master also acknowledged them as well done, the first two, well done, good and faithful servant. And he blessed them. He gave them rewards. He gave them rewards, not so much in terms of possessions in this world. He gave them rewards to enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, one of the benefits of employing our gifts to the Lord is this contentment and gladness of heart, which only comes as you give yourself to the Lord. This is what he had blessed them. Verse 23, I'll make you rulers, that's correct. But he also gave them joy. He increased their boundaries, because they were faithful in small things, and he gave them. It's interesting that the reward for both was, I will make you rulers over many things, both of them. It didn't matter how much they had, but their faithfulness in applying what they had, and the Lord blessed them immensely. He blessed them with an increase over their boundaries, what they were watching over, but he also blessed them with joy, gladness of heart. And let's look, as we conclude, at the terrible account of this lazy servant giving an apology, a reason for why he didn't do it. And he confesses that he buried, gladly so, he buried the talent. I hid it in the earth. In other words, he's saying, I made no effort. I just buried it there. I put it in a safe place within my heart. I knew it. I didn't even want to explore that I had a gift. I was content. And I hid it there. And he was convicted. And he was punished. He was indeed called a lazy servant and indeed cast into the utter darkness, bereft of all the benefits that the Lord gives to those that are his. He was cast out in utter darkness. Now, this condemnation of this lazy man came in two parts. Firstly, he was deprived of his talent, deprived of the blessings that would be his, and then, as we said, secondly, cast into utter darkness. How must we conclude? Brethren, the Lord is coming, and this is imminent and true. And the fact that he's coming, how should we live as his people? We must employ ourselves and the gifts, the blessings he's given us, to extend his kingdom, his treasure, his church, with whatever he has blessed us with. Are you engaged in that? Because he will surely demand of this. And it's very sad to learn that this man, the third man, was in the master's courts, in the household of the master. So close, he had everything he needed to grow the master's estate, and yet he missed it out. Oh, that we'll all be active in the Lord's vineyard, in the Lord's kingdom, busy employing whatever the Lord he has given us, the portion of his blessings, his goods he's given us, that we may apply it diligently. And in case we still don't know what God has given us, search through the scriptures so that we may find out our portion, so that we may enlarge it by the Lord's help. And when he returns, we shall stand confidently before him, trusting that we believed in him and we applied ourselves in his kingdom. Will you apply yourself? May the Lord grant you grace. As you think about his imminent return, think about your duty before he comes to multiply what he's given you.